just have one verse of scripture that I want to read to you. It's over in Deuteronomy chapter 7. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Just a thought I wanted to leave with you tonight. I won't keep you very long, hopefully. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, I want us to think of what Moses said here about God. Here in verse 9, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. The faithful God is the way Moses described the Lord. The faithful God. You know, ever since man fell, this has been a sad and disappointed and dangerous world to live in. Everywhere we turn, we face difficulty, uncertainty, heartaches, and one of the reasons that is because creatures are fallen, and fallen creatures are not altogether faithful. And I think that's what sometimes disappoints us. We're disappointed in ourselves, and we're disappointed in one another, certainly disappointed in the world. One of the things that grieves us often is our own unfaithfulness. One of the things that probably we pray over more than anything else, Lord, forgive me for my unfaithfulness. Job made this statement, and he made it about his brethren, his kinsmen. He said, my brethren deal deceitfully with me. We find a lot of that, don't we? And so disappointed due to the unfaithfulness of men. Paul made this statement, Demas hath forsaken me, a fellow preacher, a fellow laborer in the Lord. I don't understand all of that, but Paul said he has forsaken me. Were he forsaken Christ? I don't know, but he forsook Paul, a man who Paul obviously loved and leaned upon. But he goes one step farther. Before he died, he said, all those who are in Asia have turned. There had to be some good men in there. But good men, sometimes the best of men, are men still at their best. And man at his best state is altogether vanity. He still cannot be trusted. The Apostle Paul said this about the last days. And he gave this as a reason of perilous times, dangerous times, lawless times. He said there would be truce breakers. Men who are just not good to their word. Men who will shake hands with you and then won't live up to their promises. Micah made this statement, and I imagine it was perilous times for him. He said, the son dishonors the father, and the daughter dishonors her mother. The daughter-in-law dishonors her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy shall be they of his own house. It makes it sometimes a very disappointing world to live in, doesn't it? And the Lord Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was ready to sweat great drops of blood, he didn't have one single choice apostle that would stay awake with him and watch for 1 hour. Could you not watch just with me for 1 hour? All of you shall forsake me. Leave me alone, but I'm not alone. The Father is with me. And David made this statement. He said, I cried unto the Lord, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord shall take me up. Brothers and sisters, is there a refuge? Is there something in this life that will comfort us and encourage us? Something that's real and lasting? Something that will never disappoint us? And I'm here tonight to tell you there is. And it's this very thing, the faithful God. What an encouraging thought to think of in a world of disappointments. The faithful God. Devils hate us. They can't be trusted. Satan is a liar and the father of it. We can't even put our trust in the elect angels. They're just creatures. When God moves his hand, they could fall. They shall not, but they will not because God doesn't remove his hand. We can't put our trust in friends. Sometimes our chief friends will disappoint us. They disappoint themselves. Peter made this statement. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. A Creator must be Almighty. To make what we see in this universe and to make what we cannot see beyond what we see, to make the thrones and the dominions and power, he must be a mighty Creator. And he's faithful. And you add those two together, you got something that will bless your soul. A faithful Creator. He cannot fail because he's Almighty. He's the Creator. And he's faithful. Moses here in chapter 6 and verse 20 had been reminding the children of Israel of God's faithfulness to fulfill his promise to Abraham in bringing them out of bondage to the land of Canaan. Look in verse 20. He said, when thy son asked thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God hath commanded you? Then shall you say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us this land for this reason which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he may preserve us alive as it is this day. You know, one of the only reasons that Moses gives here for Israel coming out of bondage unto the land of Canaan is the faithfulness of God's promise. 400 years before this, God promised Abraham, I'll bring your seed out of slavery and bring them into the land of Canaan. You know, it doesn't matter how much time elapsed between the making of a promise and the fulfilling of the promise. Time means nothing with God, does it? He made a promise and 400 years elapsed, but here they are. And Moses said, you're ready to come into this land for one reason. God promised it to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. If you, brothers and sisters, can find the promise of God in his word, hang on to it. Believe it by faith, because that promise cannot fail. He may have made it 6,000 years ago. He may have made it 10,000 years ago. He may have made it before the world ever began. And he did that, did he not? Paul told those on Crete, those saints on the isle of Crete, he said, you have hope in God. You have hope of eternal life. You live in that hope, which God that cannot lie promised. When did he promise? Before the world began. Only a faithful God can promise and never forget his promise. We make promises and what happens? For some reason or another, we can't keep it. We call and say, brother, I am so sorry. Sister, I'm so sorry. I can't keep my my promise. I'm heartbroken and I know you're disappointed, but I can't keep my promise. That will never happen with a faithful God. When He promises, He'll keep His promise. God's promises, God's faithfulness is vitally attached to His ability, to His power, to His might. You take God's power away, He will not be faithful. These two go together. I want you to look on in chapter 7 and look in verse 17. Look in verse 17 of chapter 7. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I depossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them. Thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm which the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. And look at this. Thou shalt not be affrighted of them, for the Lord thy God is among you a mighty and awesome God. God's faithfulness is vitally linked to His ability. God promised Abraham a son, and Abraham was an old man, still had a son. Sarah was 90 years old. And the Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, He was able to perform. Do you believe God is able? Oh, it goes along with His faithfulness, doesn't it? He can't out-promise Himself. We do, but He doesn't. He promises, then His almighty arm brings it to pass. Is there anything too hard for God? With God, all things are possible. Those two blind men came to the Lord Jesus. And they followed Him and said, Lord, give us our sight. Lord, give us our sight. Please give us our sight. We've been blind. We can't see the sun. We've got family. We've never seen their faces. Lord, please give us our sight. He never spoke a word. They followed Him in the house. And He turned when they walked in the door. And He said, listen, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord, we believe. And He said, it's done. It's done. His ability. He's almighty. There's no limit to what our God can do. He can do everything that He's promised. He can do everything that's consistent with His holy will and nature. The Bible says that through faith Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and she was delivered of a child because she judged him faithful. Abraham said he's faithful and he's able. And Sarah said he's faithful and he's able. And those two are vitally linked together. Don't give us a little puny God. If you do, don't give us any of His promises, because He can't keep them. God must be the mighty God to fulfill these promises. He brought these Jews into a land of milk and honey, and He's promised to take us to a better land than that. And it's going to take power to get us there. But God is faithful. God's faithfulness is vitally attached. It's vitally linked to His immutability. If He's mutable, if He's changing, then we don't have a faithful God. You can't be a faithful God in change. Change and decay all around I see. I see it outside of me. I see it inside of me. there is one who never changes. We just sung that song, didn't we? Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's immutable. He knows no change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And when I make a promise, I'll fulfill it because I cannot change. I don't know exactly what those two immutable things are that Paul talked about in Hebrews chapter 6. That by two immutable things, when God made promises to Abraham, because he could not lie, and he said by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie. I'm not for sure it may be his immutability. I mean, if you're immutable, can't change. My goodness, that's a strong foundation for a man to rest upon, isn't it? God made promises to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I cannot change. I'll never change my mind. I'll never go back. Abraham said, all right then, I'll believe you. And God said, I cannot lie. I cannot lie. Oh, he's immutable, isn't he? Cannot lie. God's faithfulness is vitally attached, and I love this, to his holiness. To his holiness. He said, once have I sworn unto David by my holiness that I will not lie. He cannot lie. He's incapable of lying. He's incapable, therefore, of making a promise and going back on it. He cannot. He cannot. He is holy, holy, holy. All the devils can do is lie. But God cannot lie. I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? He is a faithful and holy creator. And this is why Peter said, commit your soul unto him. Commit all you are unto him. He's holy. And boy, don't tell, there's probably nothing in the scriptures of all the things, all the attributes of God, there is nothing that should appeal to the saint more than the holiness of God. All the other things seems to rest upon that, doesn't it? He's holy, holy, holy. He said, I swear by my holiness I will not lie to David. And listen to this. Here's the promise he made and swore to it by his holiness. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. And who is that speaking about? Who is the seed of David? It's Jesus Christ. He came out of David's loins according to the flesh. And he said, I swear by my holiness, I'm going to raise him from the dead. I am going to set him on a throne just beside of me until I make all his enemies my footstool. And brothers and sisters, where is Jesus Christ tonight? He's on his throne. And he'll sit there and he'll reign until he's made all his enemies his footstool. If he doesn't, then God is not a holy God. That promise and the faithfulness that God promised his own dear son rest upon the holiness of God. God's faithfulness is attached to the honor of his name. He's determined to get himself a great name. He will not suffer his name long to go dishonored. He will not. When Israel went into the land of promise, they sinned. Remember when they sinned and took the gold and the garments there before the walls of Jericho fell down, and the Lord chastened. sent a few men, said, we can whip this little town. And boy, Ai whipped them, killed some of them. And Joshua fell on his face and said, Lord, what's happened? You promised us this land, and now we fled before our enemies. What's going to happen if the enemy destroys our name? And then he made this statement, what will that do to your great name? If we're destroyed, yes, we'll suffer. But what will it do to your great name? Oh, there's something more important. Is there not even more important than our salvation? And that's the honor of our God. His name. John Jasper. He was an old black slave. And he's filled with assurance. Everywhere he went, he talked about the faithfulness of the Lord. The Lord's given me these promises, and I'm cleaving to these promises. I'm going to heaven, he said. He talked so much about that. Rejoiced. And somebody asked him one day, he said, John, what if you get up to heaven and the Lord won't let you in? He said, well, if that happens, if I'll get up there and the Lord won't let me in, he said, I'll be in trouble. There's no doubt I'll be in trouble. I'll be a great loser because I'll lose myself. But he said, I tell you this, after me putting my trust in the Lord, he'll be a bigger loser than I am. After I put my hope in him and my trust in him, and if he doesn't fulfill his word and bring me to his house, he'll be a bigger loser than I am. He'll lose his honor. He'll lose his character. And brothers and sisters, that will never happen. That will never happen. That's what we pray about this community. That's what we pray about the community where I pastor. Oh Lord, magnify your name. Get yourself a great name in this community. Bow men's hearts to fear you and worship you. That's what we pray, isn't it? I don't want to do anything. I bet there's nobody in this house. I know there's nobody, no believer in this house tonight that wants to cause anybody to lose confidence in you. You wouldn't do anything to have somebody to say, boy, that person, oh my goodness, I just don't have any confidence in them anymore. They've just dishonored themselves. That would break your heart, wouldn't it? But there's something more important than that. That's the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. The honor of his name. And it's vitally linked to his faithfulness. He's going to honor his name. And you know this as well as I do. His faithfulness is vitally linked to the security of every last believer. We're secure tonight. More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. And why is that? Because he's faithful. One of my favorite passages is found over in 1 John. We talked about forgiveness of sins, and I'm concerned about that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Faithful to forgive us of our sins. I don't know of a single saint that ain't worried about his sins sometimes. David even stopped one day and he said, Lord, please don't remember against me the sins of my youth. It bothered him. Does sin ever bother you? Oh, it does. It's a burden to us, isn't it? But over and above that, in spite of all of that, here's the confidence and the assurance that you and I can have. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. And he's just to forgive us. And he's merciful in forgiving us. Because he forgives us on the basis of the blood of his dear Son. not only is faithful to forgive you, but cleanse you. That's the crosses. Don't talk about forgiveness except in the cross, the blood of our Savior. God is faithful. He is so faithful. God is so faithful, and that faithfulness is vitally linked to the keeping of His people in this evil world. Boy, this is an evil world. It's an awful world we live in, isn't it? It seems like to us it's getting worse, but it's not, I guess. It's always been this way. We just haven't seen it. God keeps His hand on it and restrains it. But it's an evil place. It's a corrupt place. And you and I are right here in the midst of it. And God has been pleased to leave us here. You'll not escape the evil of this world. You just will not. It's all around us. But here's what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us. He said, Father, I would not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil. Does the Father hear the Son? Hears Him always. And so Paul took that up in his heart and he said, He will keep me from every evil work and preserve me into His heavenly kingdom. Why? Because my high priest, whoever lives, has prayed to that end. And is he not a merciful and faithful high priest over the house of God? He asked that when he was upon this world, that his children be kept from the evil of this world. And he's there in the presence of God, and he still pleads the same thing. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Well, you go through this world and you're going to get your feet dirty. You sure are. We're going to get our feet dirty, aren't we? We go out in the world, especially when we go out and have to work and hear the filthy language. See the awful deeds that grieves your heart, and you come home that night and you just feel so dirty. And taking a shower won't help. It's a conscious thing. And sometimes you feel like you deserve to be condemned with the world. But here's the promise that you have, that He who is faithful will keep you from the evil of this world. Whatever it takes, He's faithful. When I talk about our salvation resting upon the faithfulness of our God, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about the entirety of our salvation. Brother Henry used to say, if our Lord got us within 10 feet of heaven's gate and said, now listen, I'm going to leave it to you to find your way on, He said, none of us would make it. None of us would make it. When we talk about the faithfulness of God in our salvation, I mean every step of the way. From start to finish. From first to last. Before the world was to when this world is no more. Every one of us who are saved will be saved by the faithfulness of our God. I preached one Sunday a poem, and I mentioned that little poem or whatever it is about footsteps in the sand. Some of those aren't fit to read, but one or two of them is a good version, and it's good. Talked about when I was in trouble, Lord, I saw just one set of steps. Every time I got in trouble, there's just one set of steps. And the Lord said that was because I was carrying you. And I got out of the pulpit, and one of the dear brothers came up to me and he said, you know, I've never seen but one set of footsteps. I've never seen two, he said, and I don't want to. There's been one set of footsteps, and those are His. And He's carried me every step of the way. Why? Because He's faithful. He's faithful. That's why we'll be saved now and in the end. faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He came to you when you were dead in sins, his enemy, and what did he do? He called you. He sent the gospel home to your heart. He sent light into your darkness, and he called you to himself. It may have took a long time, or he may have did it suddenly, but he did it. And he's still calling you today, is he not? What are you doing here tonight, brothers and sisters? You're tired. Some of you worked hard all day. Some of you are old. And you'd like to be home sleeping. Why are you here tonight? He's calling you. He's calling you to prayer. He's calling you to sing. He's calling you to worship him and serve him. And he's going to call you soon home to be with him. And then at the end of days, he's going to call this old body out of the grave and change it and make it like unto his glorious body. Faithful is he that calleth you. He will do it. He will do it. Because he's a faithful God. Boy, you can go home and rest your head, can't you? God is faithful. In the midst of this world of disappointments and heartaches and danger and uncertainty, we have a faithful God. A couple of verses in closing, the Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, "Let us hold fast, therefore, the profession of our faith without wavering." Hold what God has revealed in his word and don't waver one step from it. Don't let conscience make you waver. Don't let your own heart, don't let the church, don't let the world make you waver from what God has revealed to you in his word. For he is faithful who promised. Hang on to it, Brother Duncan. He's faithful. Peter said this, brothers and sisters, he said, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end. Keep on hoping. For how long? To the end. Till I get out of all these troubles? No, you'll never get out of your trouble. Hope to the end. Just keep on hoping. Hope. Go to bed tonight hoping. Get up in the morning hoping. And just keep hoping every day to the end. Why? Because our God is faithful. Lord, we thank you, gracious, gracious, faithful, faithful Father in heaven. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blessed Spirit of promise. Oh, our Father, our Savior, blessed Holy Spirit in the Trinity of your sacred person. You are faithful God. And this encourages and strengthens our poor hearts. When we look within us and look around us, when we look up, oh, it changes everything. We praise you, we bow before you, we worship you, we adore you, we trust you. Our faithful, faithful God. Thank you for Brother Donnie and thank you for Sister Shirley. Thank you for these dear saints. Oh, would you increase your grace here in each heart? Would you bless this community in this place? Would you magnify your name? Would you reveal your grace? Reveal your power?